Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be back with you after being gone for 2 weeks. 2 weeks that went by very quickly for us. It was a good time of refreshing and a time to see some family down in South Florida. But it's also very good to be back with you today as we begin a new series, Living Life Led by His Spirit. And that is so important, and I think you'll see that. I am really so thankful to the Lord for giving us this topic here, following on what we've been talking about living life with the Spirit of power. And so we're just continuing to focus on the Holy Spirit. But today I think we're going to begin to get into some practical things that really ties to what we've been talking about, on how He can lead us so that we can be in a position to use His power and do the things that He wants us to do. So let me pray as we get started this morning. Father, I just thank You for the words that You've given us today to speak. I just declare that my tongue will be as the pen of a ready writer, and that I will say only what You want said as I listen to Holy Spirit in me. And I thank You that Holy Spirit is with each one of those who are joining in with us today to be the teacher of the church, and that He will take the words that I speak, Your words, and He will take it and plant it deep within each of these people, these beloved who are with us today, Your beloved, so that they may begin to walk more fully following the leading that You provide us through the Holy Spirit. And for all this, we give You thanks, and everybody would say with me, amen and amen. We're going to be talking today about to be led, and it's really kind of an introduction, if I can use that, and we'll probably finish that introduction up and start in some of the detail next week. But have you ever found yourself making a series of bad decisions that caused you to end up in a place where you didn't want to be, or even where you knew that you wasn't supposed to do something, but you went ahead and did it anyway, and that nudging that you were feeling of the Holy Spirit, you just didn't follow? Don't condemn yourself, because we've all done that. And you know, if we have consistent difficulties in our life as well, and it can be in any area from health to finances to no peace or lack of peace in any of these areas, then I think what we're going to be talking about today is going to be beneficial for you. Because if we're doing those things, then it is highly possible that we're following our own leading and not the leading for the Holy Spirit in making decisions. And in doing so, what we're doing is just making those decisions in our own soul. And we may not get that far today, but we're going to be talking specifically about that instead of hearing Holy Spirit. And so again, if you want to change this, as I do, I want to do it, for we're doing it every moment of the day, hearing Him, then this is a study that I think will help us do that. So I want to ask a question as we get started, because I think we need to set some possibilities and some expectations for ourselves. And so I'm going to ask the question, do you really believe that you, and I've asked myself this question, can live life being led by Holy Spirit every day and every moment of every day? And I think we need to examine ourselves to see whether we really believe it. And I think these verses, if we can't answer that yes, will help us and position us to do it. Now, I can hear some of you almost saying, yeah, I want to be led, but I can't hear Holy Spirit. Don't say that. When you say that, you're actually saying what Jesus said concerning you. As He said in John 10 multiple times, my sheep hear my voice. So we don't want to be in a position of singling ourselves out and, in essence, telling Jesus He's not telling the truth. So turn with me to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and we're going to look at the 16th verse. And this is going to be one of two verses that we're going to anchor ourselves in with this study. In the New King James, it reads this way, Paul writing, saying, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, that is no ifs around it. It says, when you do this, this will be the result. And that encourages me, because it tells me that I don't have any limits on what I want to do, that I can turn away from those things that I don't want to do by, and I say simply, and it is not really hard, but making that choice to walk led by the Holy Spirit. Now, the word walk there, I want to just take some time in this first verse and the next one we're going to read, but walking in the Spirit. The word walk there is peripateo in the Greek language. It's two words, peri, which means around, but it also can mean as to walk in a circle. And then the other word is pateo, which means to walk. Literally, it says moving your feet. Now, together, these words really signify that you're walking in an area or in a circle habitually in one general vicinity. It's not walking all over the world. It's talking about something with which you are very familiar. And so we might say you're living life in an environment that is where you're walking. And I'm going to use the word confined because the Lord tells us in 1 Corinthians he wants us to live in a broad space, live expansively. And so I think that's what he's doing today. He's going to lead us out of some places we've been, because he's got some things for us to do. Now, this word implies that you get so comfortable in walking over and over this that you could do it blindfolded. Now, think about a person who is blind. They're able to live in a house knowing almost to the inch where everything is. It's amazing to watch a person navigate who can't see, but they know where everything is. They are what? They're comfortable with it. And this really sets up two scenarios for us. It sets up one where if we're doing that in our lives, in our walk with the Lord, but we're not being led by the Holy Spirit, we can get so comfortable in doing those routines that we've gotten into that are good things. There are things that the Lord may want us to do, but we don't what? We just act like we don't need any more help, and we just stay in that circle. And we miss something that he wants us to do. It's really, that word has a connotation in the Greek writings outside of Scripture of taking an easy stroll. And so you're just going around and you know where you're going. But if we expand that to involve Holy Spirit, then imagine yourself taking a stroll in this park with your best friend, talking to each other, exchanging ideas, asking questions, listening for answers, getting directions. This is what living life with the Holy Spirit can be like. Now, this realm of the Spirit, I'm convinced, is where we can live day in and day out. In fact, Scripture calls for us to what? Come up higher. Be moved from glory to glory as we walk more each day to the point that our entire lives becomes like Jesus, who said what? I only say what I hear the Father say, and I only do what I see the Father doing. And when we do that, then this verse, let me read it again. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, when I say lust of the flesh, don't just limit it to something in a sexual sense, as many people use the word lust. It's anything that can take control of you, where you place your confidence, where your joy begins to be diminished if you're not with that area. But when we walk in this manner, as we're talking about today, then walking in that way will overpower. It will quiet down your soul and your flesh so that you won't do those things that are outside the will of the Spirit. And let me just say, the Spirit always produces life. Always. He can't help but do that. That's who he is. Now, let me read you three translations to emphasize this, but also to make a couple of other points. The New Living Translation says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." So we see this word guide, and if you've got your notes there, underline it, because that's going to be an important word that we talk about in a few verses from now. Let Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. And that is sinful nature is talking about our flesh, which can include our emotions as well as the physical parts of our body. Again, evil desires. The Amplified brings some of this together. It says, but I say, walk and live habitually. Now that tells me that we can do this over and over again. That's one that really encouraged me. And we can live habitually in the Holy Spirit. And when we're living that way, listen to how it says. So walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to, controlled, and guided by the Spirit. So there's that word guided. But it's also indicating a what? A submission. And you're going to see that is important as well. And then the phrase in the Amplified says, and this is classic Amplified, then you will certainly not, now that's absolute, isn't it? Gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh. And then it amplifies it by saying the human nature without God, doing it my way, doing it the way we think. Now, this word habitually also says to me that it's something we don't have to stop and think about all the time. We can get so comfortable and so attuned to Holy Spirit, like a great athlete. A great athlete doesn't pause when somebody comes in basketball to guard him in a certain way. If he guards him on this side, that athlete is trained and he habitually will go toward his left hand. You're probably looking and say, it's your right. But again, an athlete doesn't think about it because he's trained himself. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this series. So this to me is stated as fact that these things is, if we live guided by the Holy Spirit, this is what we can expect. The Wust translation, W-E-U-S-T, and I want to read two verses out of it. It says, but I say, through the instrumentality of the Spirit, habitually order your manner of life. So who has to order their manner of life? We do. So he's talking to us. You order your manner of life, and you will in no wise execute the passionate desire of the evil nature. Those passions that rise up in every area, where it's craving money or lusting after money or whatever it is. And then it, verse 17 reads, for the evil nature constantly has a strong desire to suppress the Spirit, and the Spirit continually has a strong desire to suppress the evil nature. And so guess who wins? That's how we become an overcomer. That's how we become more than a conqueror. That's how we live full of joy, and I'll add peace. And so see this possibility for ourselves. Now, Romans 8:14 is the second verse we want to anchor in. And it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, I must stop and say, don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not saying that if you're not living a life led by the Spirit, you're not a son of God. Galatians 4:4-6. And if you hear that, who's it coming from? The enemy. He's the one who condemns. Galatians 4:4-6 says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are a son, so it's saying we've already been made a son, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So I want you to see, you've already been made a son. But when it talks about here being adopted, it's not just adopted like we think about it today. It's an adoption that indicates a degree of maturity so that you can receive. And everything the Father has becomes yours in this natural realm. It was a maturing. And you'll see that in some of the words we're about to use. Now, in these words, the same Greek word for son is used concerning Jesus, where it says the Father sent his Son, and us as sons. I think that's important. Now, with Jesus, obviously, that was a mature son, and that is what we can become. Again, it ties right back into what we've been talking about in the previous weeks of becoming a person of renown for the Lord. Now, go back to Romans 8:14. The word for son here in this verse, sons, plural, just like it was in Galatians, is the Greek word weihos, and it literally means son. Now, ladies, don't get concerned about that. That's just the way the Bible uses it. I've said before and I'll say again, I don't get concerned when it talks about me being part of the bride of Christ, because we're just not going to be as we see things here today. That doesn't mean we ought to change what we know today, where you have been made female, I have been made male, etc. Now, Jesus used this referring to himself, this word, as the Son of Man. And this word can literally mean, in addition to a son, it can mean a pupil, a follower, and it can indicate maturity. So we might say, those who are being led of the Spirit, these are the mature sons of God, just as Jesus was. And certainly, being led is an indicator, as we're going to be seeing today and in the coming weeks, it's an indicator of a great degree of maturity on our part. Now, the word lead there, for all who are being led, this word is agonizo. And it's from the root word, which is ago, which means, literally, to lead. But it's as one would lead a large animal with a rope or a small connector, small cord, wrapped around its neck. In other words, this is not a word which means to drag something behind you. It's as if a gentle nudge on that rope will cause that animal, and thus the pictures we're using of a horse being led gently in the publication of this on our own website. But this connotation of a nudge setting the course indicates a gentle leadership. And doesn't that sound like the Holy Spirit? Now, I've said to you before, if you feel like there's a hand in your back shoving you, and you got to do this, just like somebody says to you, if you got to buy this today, and I'll give you this price else, then I would be very cautious, because that's the way the enemy works. But there's a really interesting part of this to me. Again, that word agonizo, agonizo, we get an English word from that. And that word, can you think of what it might be? Agony. And I would say, well, the question then becomes, well, who is the agony on? And if you're being led with a rope around your neck and you're not being willing to follow, there can be some agony. I took Millie during this vacation, our dog, Millie Jean, out into the ocean. And the first two times I led her into the waves, it was not a gentle nudge to get her to move. It was a tug. But about that third time, I could let go of it and she would follow me out, because she began to get confidence in where I was leading her to. And that's the same way that we're to be today. So I would say that this word, or the agony, is on the one who won't submit and who won't follow. But when we do follow a good shepherd, he's going to lead us into those green pastures. And you can just see yourselves in Psalm 23 over and over. So no resisting, no fighting back, no complaining. As this kind of implies that it can be unpleasant if we don't follow the nudge. And it's not unpleasant because God's making it. It's because we're taking ourselves another way. Now, I want to discuss in the coming weeks, I'm going to discuss the different ways that Holy Spirit leads us. And you're going to see it's through our spirit. So I'll go ahead and say that now. But first, I think we have to believe that it's His desire to lead us on our every step. And this is one of those whosoever words to me. Whosoever will be led, He will lead by this nudge. So go with me to Psalm 16, verse 7. Psalm 16, verse 7. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. It says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Yes, my heart instructs me in the night seasons. So what the Lord is saying there is He does give me counsel. He gives me His advice. He gives me His word. We're going to see that Jesus said the Holy Spirit will take everything I say and He'll convey it to us. But the second part says, my heart instructs me in the night season. So this is my inner man that He's talking about here. Now, the King James, the original King James, I'm going to read it to you, but I want to ask this question first. If any of you are horsemen or horse ladies out there, then you've heard the term rein trained. And basically it's saying that a horse can be trained so that the bridle in his mouth doesn't have to be the thing that causes him discomfort and drives him. The rein touching one side of his head gives him the desire, the ability to just go in the direction that you want to. So it's a gentle leading of the rein. Listen to King James. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Now the word in the Hebrew that's translated reins there literally means my inner being. So again, thinking about who we are, who we've become in the Spirit. Psalm 32, verse 8 validates this. The Lord says, and we're going to read 8 and 9, so don't close your Bible or don't begin to move to the next verse. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. Do you see the Holy Spirit as a teacher, as an instructor? I like to use the term coach. One who teaches, who instructs, who tells you where to go, where you're supposed to be on a certain play. How to react if something changes. But a coach also has the connotation of being an encourager, which I think the Holy Spirit definitely is. He then says, I will counsel you with my eye upon you. He's always looking at you. He's seeing you. Now, a good coach can do this in practice with all of his players. He can be working with one unit and see something going on and stop and go correct the others and instruct them. So don't think that he can't do this for all of us at the same time. He can. Now, that's what he says he wants to do for us. Verse 9 gives us the opposite. It says, do not be as the horse or as the mule which has no understanding. And why? Because it says the trappings which include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near you. So this is saying, if we don't let this gentle leading take us, then we're back to being like a mule and a horse of not going where we need to be. But it's not just that. It's painful for that mule and the horse. In fact, when we were looking for pictures for this, I came across one of somebody holding on to the bridle and pulling an old mule and had his head stuck out and just was stubborn. And we haven't put the pictures out yet, so I don't know if that one will get used or not. But don't be like that. Be easy to coach. Be easy to respond. Now, I believe it's critical that we also know that Holy Spirit wants to be leading us in all things. And so we need to know about who He is a little bit and think the way, the areas He's going to instruct us on. So go with me to Proverbs, the 4th chapter, and we're going to read verses 11 through 13. And I'm going to read a phrase and probably stop and talk about it. Verse 11 says, I have directed you in the way of wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? It's the ability to know how to act on knowledge or understanding that has been revealed to us. And it's, he's saying, I've given you my wisdom on how to do that. And then this next phrase I think is really key, because it says, I have led you in upright paths, in the right way to do it. My way, says the Father, of doing it. And as I was meditating this, it also came up concerning righteousness. I will instruct you, and I've led you in what? Paths of righteousness. Now, that right standing means he's not doing it from afar. And that's going to be very key. He goes on in verse 12 and says, when you walk, your steps will not be impeded. This is the result of what you and I will encounter when we walk in his ways. Will there be opposition by the enemy? Absolutely. But what does it say? It said earlier, we saw that we can be an overcomer as we do things his way. And it says, if we run, we will not stumble. Well, I'm not doing a lot of running now, but as I age, I don't want to stumble either. So this is a verse I hang on to. Lord, give me wisdom in how to do things so that I'm not falling and I'm not failing in what I set out to accomplish. Verse 13, take hold of instruction. Take hold of it. Don't let go of it. Guard her. And then notice this phrase. For she is your life, thus living life led by the Holy Spirit. So what we see in verse 12, this says this is how we do it, by living life with the Holy Spirit. Now, knowing how to act on knowledge, this must take revelation of what is possible for you so that you see the possibilities in your life of the things that the Lord has promised us he would do. And that revelation only comes through Holy Spirit. You won't get it, that type of revelation, any other way. Now, just listen to just three things that the Scripture says of many that wisdom does. Wisdom promotes. Wisdom brings honor. Wisdom enables accomplishments. Wisdom keeps safe. And it just goes on and on and on. Now, one of the things that I believe wisdom does is keeps us in peace. And so if it keeps us in shalom, what is a simple way to say that? Nothing missing, nothing broken. So you can begin to see how it implies a work that will be in all areas of our life. And let's also remember that Scripture tells us that wisdom is length of days. It's better than gold or rubies. And you say, well, how could it be better than things that are priceless? Well, if you've got wisdom, then you can have no gold or rubies. And because you have wisdom, it will produce those things that you need in your life, the blessing coming upon you. And it also says that wisdom, it's only through wisdom that a house is built. So let's go from that to what Jesus has said about Holy Spirit in John 16, verse 13. And this is getting into the Holy Spirit, beginning to talk about him guiding, leading, and directing us. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So let me take a few of these words, because we'll continue to talk about this verse in the coming weeks. But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, we must settle. Has he come? Absolutely. We've seen that in the previous study. He's come. He wants to not only come dwell in us, but he wants to what? Fill us up with himself, as we talked about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And look what it says he will do. He will guide you. He will guide you. And how's he going to do it? By taking what he hears from Jesus and relaying it to you. He's not going to speak on his own initiative. But let's focus for a minute on this word guide. And I told you to underline it in an earlier verse when we were talking about some of the words that it can mean. Yeah, I think it was in the Amplified that used it, or in our Complete Jewish as well. But it says, guide is the word H-O-D-E-G-E-O, odigaio. And the word there really means to show the way. The root in the Greek for this word is odos, which means a road. So he is saying, this is the road that you need to make your path for your feet so that you will not stumble, and if you run, you will not fall. A better way to say this, and an illustration for what it is this word guide is describing one who knows all of the roads, the trails, the path. It's actually the word that could be used in the Greek for a professional tour guide. Now, imagine or remember if you've ever been to some of the Smithsonians and you had a tour guide. If you had a question, where was the restroom? That person, because he'd been there before, he's been throughout that whole experience before, he knew what was coming next. He would know when to tell you that this is the best place to stop so that you can do that. That's the same way that Holy Spirit is. He's one who has already been there. He's seen the past, he knows the present, and he knows the future. Isn't that what Jesus said? He will disclose to you what is to come. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to tell you everything that's going to happen in the future, but he's going to tell you what's to come with your next step and how to take that next step. Too many of us want not just the first step, but the first 30. And I have found that is not the way the Lord will work. At least he does not with me. I must be obedient and not resist and not get tugged into doing what he's asking me to do. He will not do that. He's given us a free will to do that. So let me just make sure I'm saying this correctly. He's seen everything that you need to see. And he's going to take what Jesus is telling him and tell you that. But for you to do it, you must be willing to trust and take that first step. Saints, it is so encouraging to me is we don't have to be in the dark about our next step. In fact, this light, when the Holy Spirit says, do this, and you say, yes, sir, I see that. I see that. That's when that light will begin to overcome the darkness so that you can walk just as he's told us. Now, I want to unplug right here. Next week, after a brief review, we're going to go back to Romans 8 and be in several verses here as we talk about how does the Holy Spirit himself lead us. Again, a broad look. And then we're going to actually begin to talk about, okay, if the Holy Spirit's to be the one leading us, what is not to be leading us, and how do we view those things? And then we will jump in and begin to get into more depth, more scriptures, and more examples on Holy Spirit leading you. Look forward to being with you next week. I think it's going to be exciting for all of us, so please try to make an effort to join us. And let me just remind you, if you want notes and are not getting them, because we've got a lot of scriptures coming forward in these coming sessions, please send a note to our Facebook page or message. You can put a comment out on this teaching and we'll get it to you, or you can send it to patricia@mintonwilliams.com and she'll be happy to get you a copy of every note and all the things that we're teaching in this series as well as others. We love you guys. It's good to be back with you today, and we look forward to what the Father is going to teach us through the Spirit these coming weeks.